Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has criticized the police actions during a recent visit to Prague by the Chinese president. The lower house of parliament has approved proposed new legislation on gaming and lotteries, and Czech export of hops has dropped by 10% in 2015 compared to the previous year. The Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has criticized the police actions during a recent visit to Prague by the Chinese president. Speaking in Wednesday's edition of the newspaper Deník, Mr. Sobotka said he did not regard some of the forces' operations as reasonable or acceptable and described the removal of Tibetan flags as excessive. Earlier this week, Police President Tomáš Tuhý apologized for the police inspection of a Tibetan flag at the FAMO film school. However, President Miloš Zeman on Tuesday praised the forces' handling of Xi Jinping's visit. Mr. Sobotka said he expected the Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec, to inform the cabinet about the results of an inquiry into the police actions. The lower house of parliament has approved proposed new legislation on gaming and lotteries. The law should come into force next year. Among other things, the new legislation allows foreign online betting companies onto the Czech market and allows illegal betting web pages to be blocked. As of 2017, gambling will also be subject to two tax rates, 35% applying on gaming machines and 23% on the other types of gambling. The new legislation also only permits venues to have 15 gaming machines or more, which could lead to the closure of some 80% of the country's gaming bars. Currently, there are 4,900 gaming bars in the Czech Republic, and only about 800 of them meet that requirement. Czech Airlines has announced it will renew direct flights from Prague to Beirut as of the 20th of June. The airline will be flying to Lebanon two times a week during the tourist season, that is until the end of September. Direct flights between Czech and Lebanese capital were first established in September 1948. They were cancelled 4 years ago due to financial reasons. The Czech carrier plans to launch flights to 11 new destinations during the spring and summer months. Czech export of hops has dropped by 10% in 2015 compared to the previous year to total 3,668 tons of hops. According to the Hop Growers Association, the slump in profits amounted to over 250 million crowns. Last year's crops were damaged by unexpectedly high temperatures and drought. Dry weather also caused hops to have a lower concentration of alpha acids, which are responsible for the bitter flavor in beer. Most of the hop exports went to non-EU markets, mainly to Asia. Czech industry is currently lacking at least 70,000 workers and thousands of university-educated experts, such as chemists and mechanical engineers. New analysis by the Czech Exporters Association suggests. According to the analysis, there are currently more than 117,000 vacancies on the Czech jobs market. The Exporters Association has called on the Czech government to loosen its visa policy to simplify attracting foreign workforce from countries such as Ukraine, Vietnam and Russia to the Czech Republic. Municipalities on the upper part of the Berounka River have protested against plans to build an anti-flood detention basin on the river. Representatives of 25 municipalities handed their protest note to the regional authority of Central Bohemia, as well as to the agriculture and environment ministers. They argue that the dam would threaten the nearby protected landscape area of Krivoklátsko. The Vltava Water Management Company is considering the anti-flood dam to protect houses along the river from a 100-year flood, which could cover an area of up to 1,000 hectares. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, top officials say it's time to give the country a shortened name, and it seems Czechia is the winner. Czech radio's youth and alternative station Radio Wave launches a street studio, and Chris Johnson will offer you the Czech take on the transatlantic trade and investment partnership agreement in Marketplace. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Czech Republic's top officials are meeting to try and agree on a shortened name for the Czech Republic. The front runner in English appears to be the name Czechia, and that could soon be popping up all over the place. Chris Johnson reports.
Apparently, it's difficult for a country to make its way in the world if it's not got a shortened, easy-to-pronounce name, something that fits in big letters on a shirt. And the Czech Republic has been dealing with that handicap ever since the split-up of Czechoslovakia in 1993. The Czech Republic is simply too much of a mouthful and doesn't fit easily on a shirt. Various unofficial options have been tried, Czech, the Czech lands, for example, but the safest option has often been to revert to the full official name. Now the Czech Republic appears ready to end the confusion and take the plunge with an official choice. Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek, who's often confronted with the confusion over the name, explained what is at stake.
We are not talking here about the official political name Czech Republic, Česká republika, which is clearly established. But in Europe, every country, or almost every country, has a shortened geographical title. For instance, the Polish Republic is just Poland, and the same follows for others. In our case, unfortunately, it's not quite so simple, because we have not been able to share with the rest of the world the shortened name we use in Czech, Česko. But for us, there exists just one possible option as a correct translation of that, and that is something along the lines of Czechia.
Czechia in English and various similar forms in other languages is reckoned to be the most faithful translation of Česko. And at a meeting on Thursday evening, attended by the Foreign Minister, Prime Minister, heads of two chambers and President, the idea will be presented. If approved, then the shortened name will be registered with the United Nations and should start to become a common verbal currency. Minister Zaorálek says sporting bodies, for one, appear to be keen for a final agreement on the shortened name.
Perhaps it will be something of a relief for them because it will be clear what must be written on the kits and there will be a general agreement about that. The problem is that we have not been able to agree on this as fast as we would have liked. I had the idea that it would be great if we could have got this done in time for the Olympic Games, but this whole process of approval by constitutional officials and the government has taken a certain amount of time, and in the meantime they've had to start making the uniforms. So if it is not this time, it will be the next. And I have seen that sportsmen and women are willing to do this, but they need some time to prepare.
Some are asking whether Czechia might not cause confusion among the geographically challenged. In a far-from-isolated example, in 2013, the US broadcaster CNN confused the Russian province of Chechnya with the Czech Republic, suggesting that the Boston Marathon bombers came from the Central European country.
Chris Johnson with that report. Now moving on to news from Czech Radio itself. Czech Radio's youth and alternative station Radio Wave has just begun broadcasting from a glass-fronted studio right on Vinohradská Street that allows it extremely close contact with the public. What's more, the futuristic-looking studio will be launched with a free street party on the adjacent Balbinová Street this coming Saturday. As preparations for it were being finalized, Ian Willoughby asked Wave's director of programming, Robert Sandra, how the public had been reacting to such proximity to the station studio.
As far as I can say, the reaction has been pretty amazing. People are stopping by. As you can probably hear, there are amplifiers outside the building, so you can hear what's really actually going on air. People are stopping by, waving. On the very first day, even some people came with a rolling transparent wishing us the best and congratulating us to the new studio. So I guess the reaction has been pretty great so far.
Do you have any particular plans for the studio?
We definitely want to use the potential of it in the terms of contactness or contactfulness. On the very first day, on Monday, we tried a live band playing inside, and that's something we would like to do much more often and present the bands we usually broadcast in the daily playlist also live. to the audience, so that's definitely one of the things.
It's a fabulous place at the front of the historical Czech radio building on Vinohradská Street. Is getting this space a kind of vote of confidence in Radio Wave from Czech radio?
Well, I believe it's just like that. It just shows that Radio Wave broadcast for a young audience is something that the Czech radio as a whole is proud of, is confident about, and that the radio wants our station to be seen and presented to the public. That's a very strong vote of confidence for us.
Tell us what's happening here on Saturday. I see some signs up already saying the street is going to be closed on Saturday.
Exactly. From the point where we are standing right now, next to the studio on the corner, this whole Balbinova Street will be cleared from cars, and there will be a street event with a stage and live music, of course, going on since 2 in the afternoon until 10 in the evening. There's going to be another music production in the big studio inside the radio building. That's going to be even later in the evening. And besides that, there's going to be food stalls, drink stalls. So this whole area will be hopefully full of people, full of live music. And the idea of interaction, which, you know, is connected with the studio, is going to be just widened to this whole area on the street.
Radio Wave's Director of Programming, Robert Sandra, speaking there to Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. And a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. TTIP, short for the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, is not a topic which makes many headlines in the Czech Republic or excites much debate outside the business community. But the deal, described as the biggest ever trade opening agreement ever, is now entering a crucial phase, and some Czech citizens' groups and NGOs are calling for more answers about the evolving agreement and on the Czech government's stand to it. Chris Johnson has more in this week's marketplace.
This year is likely to be make or break for TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the deal that's mainly aimed at pulling down trade barriers that are not customs duties between the European Union and the United States. Such barriers are represented by a swathe of different legislation over products, foodstuffs, public tenders, almost everything and everywhere where governments and administrations are active. According to the European Commission, two-way EU-US trade is worth around €2 billion a day. So-called non-tariff barriers amount to customs barriers of between 10 to 20%, according to some estimates. The target has been to get most of the deal wrapped up before US President Barack Obama leaves office at the start of 2017. With a new incoming US president in that year, as well as key elections in Germany and France, the feeling is that the agreement could get caught up in a lot of complications if that aim falls through. At least 2 or 3 years could be needed before the deal is ripe for conclusion again, according to some experts. In the Czech Republic, TTIP is only beginning to make waves. On the one side, there appears to be solid government backing for the deal. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka highlighted the agreement this month as one means for pulling the EU and US together. But more critical opinions are also being voiced. This week, a group of NGOs, including the legal watchdog IURE and the local branch of Greenpeace, sent off a petition and challenge to the Czech Prime Minister, calling for him to push for the negotiations and results to be a lot more open. Helena Svatashova is one of the leaders of IURE and outlined the details of the petition and its challenge.
In this call to our government, we just call, generally saying, transparency, more transparency in negotiations and more public debate on what is exactly content of this agreement.
The European Commission says TTIP is unprecedented in the amount of information being made public. But its opponents argue that the openness so far is mostly a reaction to their demands and that it still does not go far enough. Helena Svatashova again.
The openness of our transparency at this moment, it's just the result of biggest citizen movement ever for transparency. So it's not just the will of European Commission. And it's still insufficient because this is not just investment and trade agreement. It's integration agreement. It's, some studies of economic impacts illustrates that it can really disintegrate European single market, so in favor of some transatlantic flow of goods and investment. So I think this is really full transparency could be. We don't ask to get access to currently negotiated proposals and so on, but we want to see in advance parts which are set and negotiate. Because we really want to avoid the situation who mentioned Senator Václav Láska, just to have something on the table and take it or not. This is a situation which is big pressure on decision makers to just adopt it.
Senator Václav Láska, elected for two Prague districts in 2014 with backing from the Greens, Christian Democrats and Pirates, was one of the backers of the letter to the Prime Minister. He describes how getting even the most basic information about TTIP is a challenge in itself.
Myslím si, že otevřené to vyjednávání rozhodně není. Na jednu stranu chápu, že při tak velké smlouvě
I think that these negotiations are certainly not open. On the one hand, I can understand the position in that when you are negotiating a major agreement, it cannot be completely in the open. But the current situation is that only some people in the European Parliament are able to find out about the current state of negotiations, and even then under special circumstances. When you ask about the state of ongoing negotiations, the information eventually comes, but around 90% of the information is blacked out. So there is very, very little information, and even some of the basic facts are lacking, such as if the agreement will have to be approved just by the European Parliament or by national parliaments as well. There is no basic information on how the arbitration system will function. I don't think that the negotiations are open, far from it. They are very, very closed. It's true that the information that does come out leads me to the conclusion that this document will not be very favorable or acceptable for the Czech Republic. I'm trying to put off that conclusion until, for example, I'm able to get 10 basic facts about these negotiations. Until that happens, all I can do is appeal for these negotiations to be transparent. I cannot say that this is bad because the basic details have not been put forward.
Pojďme vyjednávat transparentně, ale nemůžu říct definitivně, tohle je špatně, protože to neumím podložit konkrétními fakty.
What the senator fears most is that a deal behind closed doors is sealed and governments will be faced with a take-it-or-leave-it fait accompli, with pressure to toe the European Commission line that everyone is a winner with such a deal. Helena Svatasheva says members of the European Parliament have been allowed to see some of the completed texts following negotiations, but only under strict secrecy conditions.
The rules are really strict. It's a special room where you can access just without any device, include your mobile phone, and you have signed some promise to not publish it, of course. But it's not still not for all of decision makers who should decide later on agreement as a whole. I think it should be open for all voted, elected representatives.
ERA's position, unlike that of the senator, is basically opposed to TTIP as it now stands. She says from the available information it appears that TTIP is following close in the tracks of the already negotiated trade deal with Canada, CETA. She argues that this already presents a danger that it will roll back a lot of existing EU legislation, which is in the public interest.
Our position is both more public debate, but what we know about content, we really would prefer stopping the negotiation. But we are not against transatlantic cooperation, for example, in I think more needed areas like common strategy against tax evasion or on climatic change or for innovations support and so on. So maybe if it's changes completely the content on areas which are really in public interest, we are not against the agreement.
The CETA deal should be ratified this year and come into effect in 2017. It's not surprising then that Iure has a low opinion of the backing voice by Prime Minister Sobotka for the ongoing EU-US talks.
I think it's a very naive attitude. So purpose of this call is also to raise citizens' voice, to know also risks of this agreement, which really are.
The local Czech branch of Greenpeace admits that it's mostly taken a back seat to its international organisation over TTIP, but has been provoked into action as well by the Czech government's inability to give guarantees over the shape of the final deal. Jan Freidinger is campaign manager for the local branch of the environmental group.
Now they're completely against the whole TTIP, saying that they don't see any benefits, they don't trust in the negotiations, and the risk of lowering of environmental, ecological, social standards is really high. So that's why the Greenpeace International is against TTIP. But we joined this activity because we've been campaigning for a strong environmental protection for not only Czech but also European citizens for decades. And we have never heard from Czech politicians that they will guarantee that this treaty will not affect the current standards. So that's why actually we signed and we helped to create this appeal or petition in order to get an answer from Mr. Sobotka, our Prime Minister.
Freidinger was previously involved in support for the European chemicals legislation, REACH, which also meant that many US companies had to come clean about the chemicals used in their products or faced export bans to the European Union. He says there are already signs that major business lobbies in the US would like to use TTIP to challenge European legislation and roll back aspects of it which hinder their export options or lead to extra costs.
And that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today.